This lesson is entitled Caring for Your Church Employees with Deirdre Finn. Ms. Finn is the Director of Human Resources at Lancaster Baptist Church, and she has a background in banking as well as a Master of Business Administration and Finance. This lesson is a part of Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011, hosted by Pastor Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
So we're talking about caring for your church employees. When I first saw the title of this topic, I kind of thought, church employees, that's pretty much the same as dealing with church family and Christians in general. So what's specific about church employees? And then as I got into it, I kind of realized there are some different dynamics, obviously, in how you deal with church employees than how you deal with your church family. So while there is a big crossover, I find personally, I worked with dorm girls for the years I was in college as a dorm supervisor, and I found that incredibly helpful when I stepped into the staff role, because people are people, and that's just dealing with people. So there is a large crossover in relation to employees and then with Christians in our church and with the community. And in anything in life, the most important thing that I find in my role and Brother Christensen finds in his role in dealing with staff relations is, first of all, that you notice them, that you, with certain staff, especially around these times of years that we have leadership conference, that we have a big program in the church. The big thing is to notice, okay, who is going the extra mile? And when people see that they're noticed, it makes a big impact on their lives. And as well as that, to encourage them and let them know, I see what you're doing and we appreciate it, and then encourage them in their role. And then obviously when you're dealing with people, Pastor preached about this on Monday night, you always need to be fair, but very gracious. A gracious spirit goes a long way, I find, when I'm dealing with the staff. If it's something that you need to address with them, having a gracious spirit is appreciated, and it helps communicate the message, but it helps them to take it the right way. So there are three things that I find are vitally important in my role. So the first thing that we're going to talk about today is caring for your church employees physically, making sure that their physical needs are cared for. Money is a necessary evil, but obviously we want to pay our staff. It's the main needs. Obviously, our physical needs, physical security, are one of the main needs of people. So we do obviously pay our employees. Traditionally, ministry jobs are paid less than secular jobs. I came from a secular job. Before I came out here, I worked as an economist and a portfolio manager for the Irish Central Bank. So I came from a very secular background. My business, I have a business degree and I've got an MBA in economics. So I came from a secular environment into a ministry environment. And it's been a magnificent change. I absolutely love it. It's a joy to serve full-time in ministry. But one of the things, we obviously still need to pay our employees. While we do not compete with secular organizations, we always want our employees and our church staff to be cared for. There's a few different things that we'll talk about today when I say that they're cared for physically. First is remuneration. That's the first way. Here, if anybody was at my session last year, I spoke a little bit about policies. One of the first tasks that I had when we started up our human resources department was to classify all staff in 20 different staff classifications. And that classification system helps us to set pay rates also. We obviously don't pay students the same as we pay an associate pastor. Those that come in, the college graduates that we hire, we have a starting pay for them. And then those that come in from maybe a secular job, pastor likes to ensure that obviously we can't match their salary or their benefits from some of their secular jobs, but we do try to take care of them as much as possible. And then those that come with ministry experience. So they're kind of the main different groups that we have when we set pay rates. And within that, then we have a basic hourly rate for the students. We have hourly rates for our new college graduates, and then most of the other staff would be on a salary basis. So one of the resources that we find very helpful is a website called www.ministrypay. Ministrypay is all one word, .com. That's the National Association of Church Business Administration. And that website can actually be a very good resource. On that, there's annual subscriptions that we get annually. And it helps us to see what different pastors, different associate pastors, different administrative type roles are paid across different regions, different types of denominations. And that's a great resource for us when we go through and we try to set some of our salary information. So that again is ministrypay.com. One of the guides that I've heard pastor use a few times in staff meetings, especially with the staff men, is he'll mention once or twice maybe how many tithing families does it take to support your role here. And that's always been very challenging to me, and I'm sure to a lot of the staff men, because you kind of sit back and you say, wow, if my whole salary, my benefits was to be covered, how many tithing families would I need to have walk down the aisle this year? And it's always very challenging as a staff member sitting in staff meeting, and especially as the one that prepares and has responsibility for the personnel budget across the whole ministry. That's a very challenging thing. So that's kind of a good guide for staff maybe to keep in the back of your mind. Then in addition to the weekly, bi-weekly, monthly pay or salary that all of our staff get, the different ways that you can increase remuneration is by housing allowances, ministerial housing allowances. We offer them here for our staff men. There's obviously IRS prerequisites and requirements for that, and then we have our own requirements as well within our ministry on who qualifies and who doesn't qualify for a housing allowance. But that can be very helpful, that or a parsonage allowance. Then tuition benefits, we offer tuition benefits to our full-time staff for their children attending the Christian school. We don't yet do it in the college, but we do it in the Christian school because we encourage all the staff to have their children in Lancaster Baptist School. And then we offer a 401k program. So these are all outside fringe benefits maybe, wouldn't obviously be reflected in your biweekly salary or your biweekly pay, but they are extra fringe benefits for our staff. We also have different things under this, I guess, to help staff financially a little bit. We have different discounts that we offer and things. We subsidize different staff training events for the staff. Once your pastor takes us way into the desert where it's much warmer than here and does a 3-day staff training with us. We call it staff orientation. That's held towards the end of August each year. And pastor helps subsidize that for staff. So that's a time alone with him and all of our staff and spouses that he gets to share his heart every year with us. So there are the different elements of it. Another thing I would strongly encourage, which we do here, is every year when we go to develop our personal budgets, we have two separate line items. One of them is a bonus line item. And we'll go through the different year and the different departments and seasonal programs that we have. College graduation, school graduation would be ones that I can think of, leadership conference. And we'll build into our budget a bonus. So we'll go through the different months of the year. And a bonus can be, as menial as, maybe a $5 gift card to the Great Awakening for some of our staff. But that means a lot, not just that it's $5, but the fact that they're thought of. And that ranges right up to larger bonuses that will run through the payroll system. And when a staff member opens their pay packet on a biweekly basis and sees a bonus in there, or they get an email and from me and says, Pastor wanted to gift you a bonus this payroll. You'll find it reflected in your bank on Wednesday or Thursday as payroll goes through, just in appreciation of whatever it is. That means an incredible amount to them. It's like, wow, Pastor noticed something. Or one of the pastoral staff members noticed something and they got it okay through pastor, and then we ran it. So they're the little things that we try to do to help our staff. And then another thing we do is every year we build in a merit increase to our budget process, usually around maybe 4-5% for most staff members. We try to reflect maybe some of the growing prices, the inflation across the different regions. Your region may have higher inflation if you're in a big metropolitan area, or lower inflation if you're in a more countryside area, but we try to build in about 4-5% every year. Obviously some staff that are outperforming that, some staff that have life changes. Some of our younger male staff are not married yet, but when they do get married, pastor looks at their salary and he revises it upwards because he obviously knows that they've got more expense on the way. When they expand their family, maybe you go from a two staff members that get married and then they start having children, they pastor likes to look at that and see, okay, they have some maybe major expense coming, and he tries to give them a merit increase that's maybe a little bit larger. All those little things help to just know that the staff may not be matching what they could make at a managerial level somewhere, but it does mean that they're cared for and pastor's trying to look after them. So they're some of the things that we do. One of the things that happens, I guess, when you maybe leave a secular job and come here. When I came out here, I came for college, so I knew that I was coming to no job. So I had saved up before I moved out here. But some staff members come from a secular job, and it's a major decrease in pay for them. If they're moving out here, they get to have a home here, and they can set up a new mortgage and everything. But maybe those that are in transition, we never want to have it a case that because they're going into ministry, they're forced into financial debt or they're forced into financial difficulty. So some of those things are taken into account when we set pay rates financially. Then the next thing is medical benefits. This is probably one of the largest and most costly expenses for us as a ministry because we give full medical benefits to all our full-time staff. When a male staff member is married, he and his wife and children are all covered by our policy. Staff don't contribute anything to it, so it's the cost is completely borne by us. And that's a major thing for staff to come here and to know that they have medical is covered, especially those with younger children, like the ones I was babysitting last week, and he decided to chop part of his finger off. So having medical insurance was a blessing in that case. It's probably going to be one of the biggest benefits that you will provide also. Having medical covered fully by the ministry is probably one of the things that I've heard from different churches that maybe get in contact us and ask us questions about things. That's one of the biggest burdens, I guess, that a lot of families face. And to have the ministry covered entirely is a big benefit and definitely something that your employees know that you care about them. We have a group plan with Kaiser Permanente, which has been a very big blessing to the Schmitz and to Larry Chapel over the last 2 years because we've got two major facilities right on our doorstep. If we were to go with one of the other healthcare providers, we'd have to travel down to LA. So proximity was one of the big things for us. We go straight to Kaiser. Those of you that may be in the market right now looking or maybe looking at pricing of different medical insurance companies, we have a broker that we're probably going to start talking to over the next few months. We were put in contact by another ministry with him, and he shops around. He said we'll probably stay with the same group because of the proximity of the facilities up here. But he's told us that he can be a help in I don't need the same kind of medical insurance that maybe the Schmitz need right now because I've got good health, praise the Lord, so I don't have to go to medical facilities that often. But Brother and Mrs. Schmidt obviously have been there quite a bit over the last year. So he can help structure our health care plan in such a way that I actually cost my insurance premium is less than somebody else that needs to load up on maybe chiropractic care and they've got children so they need a lot of pediatricians. So because of that they can restructure and it actually reduces the overall cost for the ministry because we're the ones bearing the entire cost of the medical care. So brokers are definitely a good way to go, but beware for the little hidden fine print in their contracts. And then something else that Pastor is incredibly good at here, and I've seen on just at times, he'll call me up and he'll say, Deirdre, this particular staff member is going through a particular medical burden right now, or it's rather expensive up here to have a baby. So when you go in overnight and that's taken care of, it kind of is expensive for a newly married couple. You know, if you're only married a year, it can be a large expense. So at times pastor will say, okay, I want to help them cover the cost. And there's nothing that tells our staff that pastor cares, and he cares about their family, and he's trying to develop a good family environment here, than saying, let us take care of that particular expense. So there are little ways under medical benefits that we try to help our staff. Then the next is vacation leave. This is probably, after our medical benefits, this is probably our second major benefit on staff, is paid vacation leave. Some of the reasons I personally think that it's a great benefit is it allows staff to get away, to get time away as a family, to maybe physically leave the Antelope Valley and have that downtime. That ministry is busy. We're a very busy ministry here. And next week, a lot of our staff go on vacation. A lot of them plan it for the week after leadership conference. So next week will be like ghost town around here. And it's nice for them to go away and know that they still receive their salary, that it's not an added expense of going out of town because you're down your hours and you won't get paid. So for us, vacation leave is a big thing. Now, one thing I would say with vacation leave is you should have a very watertight policy wrapped around it. If you have different classifications, different type of staff, maybe your pastor, your support staff, your administrative staff, they work on a salary basis. They're there 52 weeks of a year. Then you have your part-time staff that may not necessarily be there the whole time. So you have to determine within your vacation policy, am I going to pay that part-time staff member? If they come in and they work 20 hours a week for me, if they're not here for 2 weeks, do I pay them 20 hours for both weeks? Or do they understand that it's unpaid time away? So that's one of the things I would say with vacation, that you need to have a strong policy in place. One of the other things we have in our policy is that all full-time staff get paid vacation, and it commences a year after they are hired. So when you come on staff, a lot of our college students will come on graduation day as their hire anniversary. This year it was May 11th. So May 11th, 2011 represents their hire date, and then May 11th, 2012 represents the beginning of their vacation leave. So we commence vacation, paid vacation, after that point. We've got a very complicated calculation, way of calculating it, and if you would like to see our vacation policy, that's one of the ones that we share with different ministries, so you can let me know afterwards. And then after a year, they start accruing vacation. In the first year, we have 5 paid days vacation. Then after your second anniversary, it increases to 10 days of paid vacation. With that also, because we're a somewhat large ministry, and we have a lot of different ministry opportunities at the weekends, we require our staff to submit vacation schedules at Christmas time. Usually the deadline is January 31st. They submit them to me, and then we gather all the vacation together, approve it, let pastor's office know who's out when, let the Sunday school teachers know, the adult ministries, Brother Stone, let him know when the Sunday school teachers are out so that we can anticipate and plan what weekends we need to cover all these gaps. One of the things that you're going to have to plan for also within this vacation policy is with Christian school teachers. Here we've got 2 different classifications of Christian school teachers. We've got 52-week teachers, which are predominantly our male head of household teachers, and then we've got 40-week school teachers. For them, we pay them on a 40-week basis, and then they have unpaid leave over the summer months. So that's something that's within our vacation leave as well. And this helps staff to plan. This kind of it comes under the caring for your employees, because our 40-week teachers already know when school graduation is done, you're no longer paid over the summer, and it helps them to budget. Their medical leave is continued all summer long, which is a great benefit for them. A lot of our married ladies and single staff girls over in the school know that they don't have to worry about the expense of medical leave over our medical costs over the summer months, that they're already cared for in that regard. So that's vacation leave. And then the next is setting work schedules. If any of you ladies were in Mrs. Chappell's session on Tuesday after lunch, she talked a lot about balance, and this is kind of the key word here is balance. Within our ministry, we have a lot of working mothers, a lot of moms that maybe have kids in the school, so we like to structure their work day around that, that they would come in when the school starts and that they would be able to leave when the school ends and they can go pick up their kids. They obviously would be employed on a part-time basis. This helps staff to know. One of the things that I find dealing with staff is when they know that what the expectation is, they tend to be a little bit more confident. It's like, okay, I know what's expected of me, and this is what I know to live up to. If you don't communicate that, then that's when issues arise a lot of time. So balance is the key. Let them know ahead of time, okay, these are the expectations on you. Our offices open at 8 and they close at 5. So there are core hours Monday through Friday. Thursday here is our pastoral staff day off, so a lot of the pastoral support staff, the secretaries, will take their day off on Thursday also, and then they know that they come in and work on Saturdays. So allowing them to, allowing especially, I think, of some of the younger moms to work around what their needs are for their family is a big thing. We appreciate the fact that they're all working this week incredible hours, but we also appreciate the fact that a lot of them haven't seen their kids for long extended times during the day. So that's why next week is kind of a down week. They can spend time with family. Pastor is very, very encouraging of family time. And I think you get that sense from he and his family too, that they're a very close family. And this is one of the ways that he does it. He wants staff to keep that balance. And there's nothing that does tell a staff member, I care about you, than Brother Hopkins, who's been playing a lot of the accompaniment all week, and he's been helping out with solos on the piano, and just an incredible amount. He's got 2 young kids, so Pastor wants to ensure that he gets some time with them this weekend. And then knowing that, okay, this is my work schedule for the week after leadership conference, that helps staff to feel comforted. When we come up to busy times, the week of revival, the week of Revival and Missions Conference and Leadership Conference, we tell our staff, if you can head out of the office at 4 o'clock, go home, have some supper, come back and be back in the evening service for 7 o'clock, we'd like you to do that. So sometimes we will adjust our office schedules to help out our staff with their routines. If you're adding to a staff member's work plate, be conscious of how much they already have so that you're not overburdening them. Sometimes it's the tendency is to give more work to a busy person because they accomplish more. My dad always taught me that when I was younger. If you want to give something, give it to a busy person because you know they're going to get it done and they're going to get it done on time. So just be conscious of what areas you are expanding and who you're giving that workload to. We never want to overburden staff. While we know they're in the ministry, we don't want them to get to the point of exhaustion. When they are up all night at the hospital with a sick member of the church, or maybe they are counseling a teenager late into the night, be conscious of that. Allow them to maybe leave a little bit early the next day to come in a little bit late. They don't necessarily have to be here at 8 o'clock in the morning if they're up all night in the hospital. So just little ways like that of being conscious, of recognizing and noticing. We all like to be recognized and noticed, and there's nothing that does say, I really care for you and I appreciate what you're doing, than saying, you know, I know that you were up all night at the hospital, so why don't you just go ahead and head home now, even though it's only 2 o'clock and I know you've got a lot of work to do, but why don't you go get some rest and you'll feel more refreshed and come back tomorrow. And that's one of the things I appreciate about a lot of the leadership here. They're very conscious of that and helpful. So that's more the physical, more day-to-day things. Then the next way that we can care for our staff is spiritually. And the first thing is to create a spiritual environment. God calls us to be a distinct and a peculiar people. And there's nothing about Walmart that is spiritual, but there's everything about Lancaster Baptist Church, school, Striving Together Publications, West Coast Baptist College, that should be spiritual. It should be a spiritual environment. It should be a distinct place to work in. When we have college students that go out and work in jobs to help pay their tuition during the semester, there's nothing that we want more than them to come on campus and feel more spiritually uplifted and refreshed. And we're not Walmart. We have people working here, and people are always going to be people, but we should create that spiritual environment for them. Things should be done decently and in order. It's God's business. That's what we're in. So we want to make sure that everything is done properly. Like I said earlier, some of the issues you may deal with in staff relations are because things are not communicated properly. Expectations are not communicated. When expectations are not communicated, people do not know what to do, and they don't know where the line is or what to live up to. And that's very important that you would have an orderly system of doing things. Obviously, in our environments, God should be preeminent. And we do little things around here that we have... Maybe not in this room. Oh, we do have in this room. We've got like spiritual sayings on the walls. We've got scripture. We've got on the church offices on our phones. Music is piped in. So there's godly music in the office if you want it. Sometimes it's a little bit too loud, and you have to ask the person next to you to turn it down. But that creates a spiritual environment. Be very protective of it. God wants us to have a spirit of excellence. That's one thing that I do strive for, because I know when I come to work every day, I worked in banking as an economist before I came out here, and I did things for the Irish government and the European Central Bank, and I did things for an investment bank I worked with previous to that, but there wasn't the same urgency about it, because now I know when I come to work, I'm working for God. And yes, Brother Christensen may ask me to do something, or pastor may ask me to do something, but ultimately I'm doing it for God. And creating that spiritual environment helps keep that in the back of my mind at all times. Praying at meetings should be something that's done on a church property. Having devotions at staff meetings. Every week on Friday afternoons at 3:30, pastor meets with the staff. And every Friday at 3:30, when we meet, he prays. He lifts up sick church members. He will bring burdens of church members to the staff. He'll make staff announcements, and he'll ask us specifically to pray for things during the week. And that's always followed by a devotion. He always ensures that something is shared from God's word that would help us and that would help the business that we're in. So that's very important. And then, like I said earlier, we don't work for Walmart. So because we don't work for Walmart, we should live out a godly Christian life. We should have godly principles. When we do things, we shouldn't be a different person at work than we are in church on Sunday morning and Sunday night. We should be the same person. And when we get up to teach in classrooms, or when pastors get up to preach on Sunday mornings, they should be the same gracious, godly person that they are in the office on Monday morning. We all have bad days, and we're all grumpy from time to time. And sometimes you do get a little bit, I cannot deal with one more thing on my desk right now. But we still should be, we should have an excellent countenance. We should be friendly one towards another. These are all things that help us to work in a godly environment and to help us care for one another, because we're part of the same church family. We're part of the family of God. But when you serve on staff together, you're striving together in ministry. And we should all be one when we do strive together. So we should live out the Christian life. Sometimes you are going to have to address difficult things, especially if you're in a pastoral position, and they do come across your desk from time to time. You can't be a walkover, but you also can't let things slide. You have to be godly. God is our boss if we're in full-time ministry, but he also wants us to do things decently and in order. So it's important to keep that order within the staff. As I said earlier, always be gracious. Keep godly standards. Protect your environment. It's important to us, especially because we have a college on our campus, and we have college students that walk around. I think Dr. Getch said it this morning in his preaching, that they sit in and hear however many messages, 13 messages or something a week, but what really teaches them is how the staff carry themselves. And people are watching you if you're on staff. And we want to protect that environment within a staff environment in order to help the church ultimately. Make big issues small always. You don't have to spiritualize everything, but when you make big issues small, that helps staff to realize that they are cared for and that there's a godly approach to things. And be a peacemaker. just like Abigail. If we take the higher road and we're filled with the Spirit, it's going to help our employees. It's going to help those that we labor with in the ministry, knowing that I'm cared for here, and this is the godly approach to things. Then the next is a little bit surprising, maybe, provide ministry opportunities. Sometimes the staff get almost all the ministry opportunities. But do try and find a staff member's niche. You know, if they really like dealing with teens, don't tell them you have to sing in choir and you have to take the senior high girls, even though they really want to work with elementary kids. Give your staff the option of telling you what they like doing, and then try to fit their ministry around it. We want to encourage staff to love and be joyful in ministry. When you're working on a church staff Monday through Friday, and you're out soul winning Saturday morning, and then you come in Sunday, you don't want the staff member to feel like I'm back at work again. You want them to feel like I'm part of a local church and I'm doing ministry. Yes, I get to do it all day long, every day in a different capacity, but this is what I love to do. I love to teach, whatever it may be. I love to play piano or sing in the choir and allow them that ministry opportunity. With our staff men, one of the things that I really appreciate is that they can go out soul winning on the clock, as we call it, during the work week. Give them that opportunity to go out and make visits. Here, because we've got a large staff on our payroll side, we have just over 200 staff members. And then added on to that, we've anywhere between 350 and 400 students that work for us during the school year. So we have a lot of things going on in this campus. But it's of great encouragement to some of our school teachers and our college men and our administrative staff if Pastor says, go out soul winning for an hour or two. Take time away from your office work. And that helps the staff, I think, to say, wow, I'm cared for, and Pastor realizes I'm in the ministry. And I'm co-laboring with him or maybe Brother Christensen or Brother Furso in soul-winning opportunities. And then don't allow volunteers to, or do allow volunteers, rather, to help. Don't expect the staff members to do everything. Yes, it's their job, but allow volunteers to come and labor with them, to come alongside them. They get to spend time with staff members, first of all, and I think sometimes we forget the fact that church members kind of, they see Brother Furso and Brother Christensen on the platform here with Pastor, and they're like, wow, you know, they're really important guys. Well, they're just regular guys, and allowing volunteers to come and help for something like leadership conference or getting ready, we have work nights leading up to it. That makes a big difference to the church members, and it helps the staff to say, wow, I've got somebody that I can delegate something to. I've got somebody that's coming alongside me in ministry, helping me out, and they do care that I've got a large workload right now and somebody's here to help me and to come alongside me. So that's caring for your staff spiritually. And then lastly, we're going to talk about caring for them emotionally and intellectually. And the first is reinforcing the need for margin. Margin's a little bit of a buzzword you may have heard here this week. And we want to reinforce the need for margin within our staff. By allowing them to have adequate time off. I talked about vacation. Vacation's important. Vacation is needed, that you have a week or two away physically from the office. But also that there's times built in and that you allow staff, if they are out making those hospital visits or dealing with a troubled teenager, that you allow the little bit of extra time, that margin in their lives and in their work week, to go ahead and to spend time either with their family or just extra time in the morning and devotions, whatever it may be, allowing them that the extra margin or the extra reserve in their life so that they don't feel overloaded. Over the last few weeks, I read this in something relating to this topic, and it said, chronic overload drains your spiritual reserves. It is an enemy of prayer, worship, meditation, loving one another, and service. We either stop doing those things or simply go through the motions. And the last thing we want to do is to have people on our staff that don't feel cared for, that feel like they're going through the motions. We want them to feel that they're co-laboring in the ministry, they're striving together with the pastor. So it's important to give your staff this margin, this extra space in their lives that they get to spend time with God, that they get to spend time with their family, and aside from vacation, that they feel spiritually refreshed, that they're able to go in and do the things that you're asking of them. Then next is mentoring your church employees. One of the things, I guess, being in a larger ministry like ours is you don't necessarily get to see pastor one-on-one all the time. As I said, we get to spend about 45 minutes to over an hour most Friday afternoons with him and when he does our staff meeting. And then one of the most valuable times that I always look forward to every year is staff orientation, where we get to spend 3 days away as a staff, and that really does give you just time alone with pastor, and he shares his heart with us as a staff. He shares the vision for the following year. He shares the calendar. And there's nothing more than feeling like you're cared for when you're sitting in that room and he's saying, okay, this is what we're going to do next year, but it's a big secret just between, you know, all 250 of us, with spouses included. And mentoring us on a one-on-one basis, getting to spend time with who we're working with, getting to go out soul winning with one of the ladies that I work with, our office manager, Mrs. Stoner, has been an incredible help to me over the last few years. And just getting to spend one-on-one time with her, because she's been here for 25 years. She understands pastor's heart more than a lot of other people. It's quite incredible. And just to get to spend time with her. For male staff members, spending time with pastor one-on-one, catching his heart, catching exactly what his vision is and his dreams and how we can help him bring those dreams to fruition. So these are important things that we do. Other ways that we show our staff that we really do care about them emotionally under mentoring is each year, pastor sets aside one day at Christmas time as our staff Christmas day. So we take all the staff down to Knott's Berry Farm. First of all, we meet here on campus. It used to be in pastor's home before our staff grew too large. And then we meet on campus, we have breakfast together, we share testimonies, and then the staff and their families go down to Knott's Berry Farm for a day of fun at Christmas time. So that's one way that really helps our staff to know pastor cares about you as a family unit, and he wants you to spend time as a family making memories and enjoying time together. Other things we do is at Thanksgiving we have a special staff meeting we invite all of our staff spouses to. And Pastor and Mrs. Chapel host a little pumpkin pie fellowship. And being Irish, I do not eat pumpkin pie, period. So we have, and we just share testimonies of things that we're thankful, things that God has done through the last year. And it's been incredible for me as an outsider that came here 4 years ago that knew absolutely nobody aside from Brother Whitman. I knew Brother Whitman because I had met him at a Striving Together conference. And if you know Brother Whitman, he makes himself known. And he was the only one I knew. So when I came out here, sitting at those fellowships has just been quite incredible, because I never realized that some of the staff, as they share testimonies, have gone through things over the last 12 months. And God's brought them through different trials and the different burdens that they've been carrying. And just to have pastor know all of that and to share that with other staff members is really incredible. It's like, wow, these people sitting in this room who I co-labor with every day in the ministry really care. And they have burdens that I would never know about, and they're still pleasant, they're still gracious, they still help me with things, they're still faithful, they're still teaching their Sunday school classes and following up on their absentees. And pastor, it's quite incredible. He stands there and he knows all of this, and he carries these burdens. He prays through those burdens. And as a staff member, it's just incredible. It's like, wow, I'm really cared for. And just these little things throughout the year that help staff members know that we get busy and we may not see each other for a week or two, but there's a man that sits in that office and prays for me on a regular basis, prays through the staff directory. That's very incredible to me, and it does make me feel very cared for. Other ways we can help mentor our employees is to develop staff policies, so that staff know what the expectations are of them. We've developed a staff manual as well. Over the last 25 years, pastor's put a lot of his staff meeting devotions, staff meeting lessons, lessons that he's taught at orientations over the years, different articles that he's found helpful from maybe outside ministries, or he's found helpful from leadership opportunities that he's had to sit under. And he put them all together in a staff manual. And we give that to some of our key staff when a new staff member in a leadership capacity comes on board. I give them a manual. And I gave it to somebody recently. He kind of like his eyes open wide. He's like, whoa, it's like that thick. It's a big binder. And that really, when I got it, it was like, wow, pastor cares about me and he's investing in me. And these are things that he's pulled together, that he's found helpful, that he's investing now in my life. And that really helped mentor me in what I now have come to learn, what Pastor Paul Chappell's heart is on different things. When you do train staff and you invest time in them, be specific, be clear in directions. And this is kind of where that little tag that came last week and helping new staff comes in. When new staff come on board, I generally meet with them the first morning and I spend maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours walking them through the different staff policies we have, payroll instructions, letting them know what leadership team member they sit under, who they report into, if there's something that comes up, how they can take it through so that it ultimately gets dealt with. If they're brand new to the campus, if they've only visited us once or twice before being hired on, we'll take them on a tour through the offices. And that helps new staff to know, okay, this is what's expected of me. This is what the requirements, I guess, are. And we're very detailed. We've got leadership requirements, we've got staff requirements, and we've got quite a thick policies manual as well that help church employees know what the expectations are. If I know what my expectations are, then I know where I'm falling short and I know where I'm exceeding and I know where I'm hitting it right on target. And that helps me, especially with dealing with my authorities. It helps me stay out of trouble too. So that's always helpful. And then lastly, we can show our employees that we care about them by allowing for continued education. Some of the ways, obviously we've got a Bible college here. So one of the ways we can do that is our online masters. I started out taking classes in the classroom in my master's program, but I actually finished it online. And that's a great way to challenge, especially our Christian school teachers. There's a few of them right now that are taking the Christian Education's master's. There's one or two of our staff members that are taking the master's in Bible. That helps them to know that we care about them, because what we do here is after you pass a course, we pay the tuition for it. So once they give us the grade, we reimburse them. And that it helps them get through the program financially because it funds the next course that they take. But it also helps them to know we want you to further yourself. We want you to know more than you currently know and to expand your expertise and your specialties. One of the things Pastor does a lot of times with the staff men is he'll distribute books. There's a book that he reads that he finds is helpful to him. So he'll buy a copy for all of our staff men and put it in their mailboxes. And then does he still ask for reports back? So you have to like summarize the book or something? Okay. So then you have to summarize the book and give it back to him so he knows you've read it. And that can be very helpful for the staff men because it's like, wow, this had an impact on my pastor, and now he's handing it on to me. He cares about me, and he really wants me to grow in this area. Other things we do is we send our staff on courses. I've been in a number of courses to try and ramp up my human resource experience because I didn't come with much at all. And they've always been very, very good to facilitate that. We get a lot of training courses, material on different training courses. And if there's somebody that has a need for something in the offices, then we'll try and send them on a course to help them in their jobs. And then obviously, not to, you know, plug the conference too much, but you can always bring your staff to Spiritual Leadership Conference and allow them to sit in workshops and allow them to go to the different tracks for youth ministry or music ministry or church administration, and allow them to sit under people like Brother Schmidt, who really knows what he's talking about and is an expert in his area. And you can give them that opportunity, help them out by getting here, maybe not bearing the whole cost, but, you know, registering them and different things like that. And that helps a person to know, like I go back to in the beginning, that you notice them, that you want to encourage them, and that you want to invest in their lives. And we invest in lives and impact people up close. We can't do it from a distance. Yes, I can be impacted by preaching from a distance, but it's when somebody spends time with me up close, that's when I'm really impacted, and that's when I really feel like I'm invested into. So there's some of the things and some of the ways that you can care for your church employees. So I'm going to close with a word of prayer, and then if you have any questions or I can help with anything, or if you'd like a copy of some of our policies, we do send out emails with a small number of our policies for your guide, and a lot of ministries do find that very helpful.